Broadcasting from the wine country in California, this is the Kick-Ass Relationship Show, where intimate secrets and modern advice for couples is shared to elevate your relationship to live sexier, happier, and have way more fun. We believe success in life is better when mixed with excitement and love. And now, here's your kick-ass relationship coach and best-selling author, Midori Verity.
Hey, hey, everyone. Welcome back to another kick-ass marriage show. So glad to have you guys with us. And I'm so excited for today's show. Do you ever wonder how certain people are able to achieve insane success? Like, let's think of Elon Musk or Oprah or Richard Branson. Is it fairy dust or is it like some weird brain wiring? My guest today, I'm super excited for because he is going to be talking to us about a new science that any of us can use to make us a bit more spectacular and get closer to our peak potential. The other super exciting thing for today, we listened to you guys and we brought back by popular demand our clairvoyant and empowerment coach, Miss Angela Barrows, who will be on with us for the second part of our show. And she's going to be doing another reading for one of our lucky listeners. So you guys are going to want to hear this because she is phenomenal. So for those of you who are new with this, with our show, I am Midori Verity. I'm an author, a speaker, and I am known as a kick-ass marriage coach. Each week, I bring you guests, tips, inspirations, and fun to help you energize your relationship and your life. So we are going to kick off the show with my 3 minutes to thrive. And today we are talking about building a stronger connection through rituals. If you look at relationships, you know, older relationships, people who've been together for a long time, possibly your grandparents or other grandparents that you know, when you look at those that are successful, one thing that you will see that's consistent is that they have certain little things that they always do together. So it could be something like having coffee every Sunday together and reading the newspaper, or having wine and a movie on Friday night, or weekend hikes. It can be anything, but really what it's all about is doing something consistently that's expected or anticipated, and you do it each week. And this becomes a ritual, something that you look forward to every week. And it can be something super simple. Like I said, like on Sunday, getting together Sunday morning and having coffee and reading the newspaper together. What happens when you do this, when you have this consistently and you know that it's going to happen, you know that every Friday you get together and you have kind of your little quote unquote happy hour or whatever it is that you two both enjoy, what happens is that studies show that this creates a stronger connection. It's kind of, it's this brain psychology, which you guys hear me talk about all the time. There's something that happens in our wiring. And it just helps us connect stronger and helps us develop that long-term relationship. So if you don't already have that ritual started, start this week. Think of something that you can do that's easy, that's super easy, that you can do every, you know, at least once a week. Maybe it's Monday morning. You guys start off your week with a kick and you have that morning espresso or whatever. But think of something that works for you guys and plan that. Write that down. Let your partner know. Maybe talk with your partner. What would you like to do every week? And make it a habit. All right, you guys, I look forward to hearing your feedback on that. But without further ado, I really want to get into this interview because I'm so excited about what this next guest has to tell us. His name is Brad Stolberg. He researches, writes, speaks, and coaches on health and the science of human performance. He's a columnist with New York and Outside magazines and co-author of the book Peak Performance, Elevate Your Game, Avoid Burnout, and Thrive with the New Science of Success. Brad's work explores the principles of mastery that transcend capabilities and domains. Via his coaching and reporting, Brad has been intimately connected to some of the world's best performers, including Olympic athletes, intellectual phenoms, acclaimed artists, and groundbreaking entrepreneurs. And just so you all know, we're going to be asking him how we can bring this into our world. For those of us who are less than Olympic athletes or phenoms of any certain types, just for us that are kind of the normal people, we're going to be talking, having him give us suggestions on how we can reach our peak potential as well. And he's learned that many of the practices underlying sustainable success are the same, supported by scientific evidence, and can be harnessed by everyone. So join me in welcoming Brad to the show. Hi, Brad.
Hey, so glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I saw your book, gosh, I don't know where I saw it, and I started reading about you and about what you teach, and I thought, you know, he has some kind of new science. What is this? What is this all about? So I want you to start off by telling us a little bit about your background and what brought you to this human performance field. So tell us about you.
So before I started writing in professionally and as well as coaching and researching this stuff, I was somewhat of a phenom myself out of undergraduate school. I went to work for one of the top consulting firms in the world and performed quite well, very quickly got promoted at the age of 23, was consulting with and counseling CEOs of some of the largest companies in the world. And after about 2 years of doing that, I had just completely burnt myself out. I was working probably between 16 and 18-hour days on average, and even when the days were shorter, I just simply could not disconnect from work. It was impossible for me to turn it off and enter into a more restful state. So while I was able to perform at a super high level at a very young age for a short period of time, like I said, I flamed out pretty quickly. And at that point, I became really interested, you know, is peak performance achievable over the long haul? And is there a way to sustain that level of excellence, but do it in perhaps a more healthier way that lends itself towards long-term growth and not just kind of burning bright, but then fading quickly?
Okay, I love that because, you know, many of us, we get into something, maybe it's working out, and we decide, okay, I'm going to run and I'm going to be freaking awesome. I'm going to, you know, register for that 10K. So you achieve it, and then you just kind of, after that, quit, or, you know, just go back to doing nothing, right? So tell us a little bit about that. So how do you sustain it for the long term? How do you create this, you know, how do you get into something that you really want to get into and get elevated and become very, very good, you become an expert at it, but how do you sustain that?
So it's this equation that in the book I call the growth equation. And the growth equation goes like this. It's the notion that stress plus rest equals growth. And when I speak about stress, I don't necessarily mean it in the conventional way that we often discuss it. So I'm not talking about being in a fight with your significant other or perhaps being anxious about a performance review at work. I refer to it much more in the scientific, biological sense, which is some kind of stimulus to the brain or body. So for lots of us, stress can just be very intense, hard work. Or in your example, in the case of a runner, it can be training, workouts, and races. And we often think that too much stress is a bad thing. And while that can be true, so long as stress is balanced with rest and recovery, it actually leads to growth. So what tends to separate those that are able to sustain performance, and not just world-class athletes, just that any given individual who's able to sustain his or her personal best for a very long period of time, is they do. They work very, very hard, but they're also able to step away from the work and balance that stress with rest. And if you don't have that period of rest, that's when you run into all kinds of problems with burnout.
Okay, so go a little bit deeper for us. So let's take, you know, a typical mom who is crazy ass busy raising her kids, trying to get them to school, getting them to piano lessons or sports or whatever it is, and then helping them with homework. But she wants to get fit. She wants to feel great in how she how she feels every single day. So talk to us a little bit about that. So what do you mean by rest? How much rest do you need and how hard should you be pushing, and kind of walk us through that a little bit better.
So there's no single equation per se that works for every individual. So it's definitely, you know, involves an amount of self-experimentation, but the amount of rest just needs to mirror the amount of stress. So if that mom is super busy with kids and has all kinds of stress in her life outside of her workout, probably not a good idea to try to work out for 2 hours a day. That would just be too much. She wouldn't have any time to calm down and to recover. So in that instance, I would consider starting with something small. So maybe it's even just going to the gym for 20 to 30 minutes a day. And what's nice, and particularly in physical pursuits, and I guess what you could say is wellness, is that the rest doesn't have to be completely chilling out. It just means something where you're not kind of actively using your body and you're not actively rushing around.
Okay, got it. Totally makes sense. So it's basically just having more of a balance, right?
Exactly. And knowing that if you go really, really hard in one pursuit in one area of your life, you can do that for a short period of time, but unless you balance it out with some rest, again, the result is burnout. And, you know, another analogy that's kind of out there, but given I'm on a kick-ass relationship, so I'll go for it. I actually think that this equation applies really nicely to relationships as well. So if a couple takes on way too much too soon and doesn't necessarily take time to reflect on that, they probably won't grow from it, right? So the way that I see a lot of relationships evolving is partners will increasingly take on things together. And this can be a pet, it can be going on a first big vacation, it can be starting a family. And if you rush all of that really, really quickly, there are of course exceptions, but most of the time that leads to distress and problems, right? Again, it's too much stress, not enough rest. I think the way that a lot of successful relationships grows is kind of incrementally taking on challenges, but having time to reflect and recover before you take on the next.
Ooh, okay. So I like that. So we're not just talking about physical exercise or athletics. We're talking about just life in general. So it can be for your brain, it can be for whatever, but you're right. There's so many, you know, my husband and I first got married. We decided to start a business. We decided to buy a house and decided to have a kid all at once. And it was insane. I couldn't even think straight anymore. So that makes absolute sense. So you just kind of have to be able to step back and breathe for a second.
Exactly. Right? And just to try to the extent that you can, try to be pretty deliberate about when you're taking on really hard things. And, you know, sometimes life just gets in the way and you have no choice to get through it. But to the extent that you can plan and find that balance, it tends to offer greater benefits. Exactly.
Okay. I love that. That makes total sense. Okay, so talk to us a little bit more about how this can apply if, you know, peak performance can mean so many different things. Like we just said, it's not just about becoming a marathon super runner, doing an ultra marathon. It can also be about just becoming the best self. So it could be in your career. It could be in, I mean, God, there's so many examples. But help me with that a little bit. Who have you helped in the past? You know, you talked about artists and you talked about all kinds of other people that you've worked with. Give me a little bit of an example of how you helped those people become their best. Does that make sense?
So I think absolutely. I think the first thing that I tend to do is I ask them to work with me to define what is being their best mean. And the answer is quite different. Some people are very, very goal-driven and focused on a certain goal. So that might mean become CEO of a company. It might mean, you know, play the drums for a big pop act. It might mean win an Olympic medal. For other individuals, success is almost the opposite, and it's how can I just be content, and how can I learn to chill out a little bit and not push so hard because I'm in a stage of my life where I'd really like to just be okay with where I'm at. So I'm really glad that you asked this question because I think what often happens is people just assume that peak performance means pushing towards some kind of external accomplishment. And for some, that might be the case for a period of time, but that's certainly not the only definition. I work with clients. I like to define peak performance is feeling like you're living up to your full potential in a sustainable way that feels good.
Sustainable. There you go. Okay. So that's how you start. So you ask them to define what their goal, you know, whether it's a particular goal or whether, you know, what success means to them, right? That's kind of how you work it. And then you work backwards from there.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh. So this is something that I work with my clients. We always talk about what their common goal is because it's important to have something that make that you're passionate about, that you're super excited about, especially in a relationship. If you want to have a long-term relationship, you have to have something that releases those endorphins and keeps you connected and makes you excited to hang out together, right? So this is something that I do talk to my couples about, and I try to get them to push themselves more than they are comfortable, push them outside of their comfort zone. So do you kind of have any tricks for that? Like how do you get someone who knows in their head, yes, I want to be successful at running. I want to be successful in my career. I want to be successful, in retiring, whatever it is. How do you help them take those first steps to even start the momentum?
So I go back to that growth equation, the stress plus rest equals growth. And I start by trying to identify what's the path within that equation that someone can get on. And often how I'll do that is, let's take a career as an example. I'll say, tell me something that feels like you are just completely going through the motions at work, like you can do it in your sleep. It's quite easy. And I'll have them name a thing or two. Then I'll say, tell me something where if you were responsible for this or if you were assigned this type of project, you would be so anxious that you'd feel your pulse in your neck. You'd wake up in the middle of the night nervous. It would just feel awful. And then I have them give me a couple of examples. And I say, those are kind of two pendulums of stress. One, going through the motion, hardly any stress at all. One, being in way over your head, super stressful, probably not growth promoting. Then I try to say, now let's find something in the middle of that. And then once we've identified what type of project or task falls in the middle, I ask them to name something that is just ever so slightly more challenging. And to me, that's like what I call the sweet spot of stress or the sweet spot of challenge. In the book, I call it a just manageable challenge. So something that's ever so slightly outside of your comfort zone. So not enough where you're going to feel anxiety, like I said, not waking up in the middle of the night, not being so nervous about it, but something that you're just not positive that you've got in the bag. And I think that those are the types of just manageable challenges that really lead to growth. And that's true whether it's a running workout, whether it's taking on projects at work, whether it is something artistic for a musician. It might mean, you know, playing at another level, trying a new instrument. So there's all these just manageable challenges.
Okay, so you make it so it's not so scary, right? It's just
something
that you can deal with.
Totally. The easiest, like another great example is if you think about making a muscle stronger in the gym, right? The way that you make a muscle stronger is you have to pick up a weight and you have to lift the weight. And then you have to rest to allow the muscle to build and come back stronger. Well, if you pick up way too heavy of a weight, you're going to throw your back out and get hurt. And if you pick up just a 1 pound weight, you could sit there and lift it all day and nothing's going to happen. And if all you do is lift weights, even if it's the perfect amount, if you never stop and rest, your arm's going to fatigue and burn out. So in order to make a physical muscle grow, you have to find just that sweet spot, that perfect weight. It's not too much, but it's hard enough. You have to lift, and then you have to step away and recover. And that's that same equation that, like you said, you know, holds true far beyond just the body.
That's such a great analogy. It just simplifies it. It makes sense. So anyone can understand it. That's a great analogy. So let's say someone, you know, someone's going through it and they're doing just the right amount of reps, right? The right amount of weight, the right amount of everything. And this, I'm talking figuratively. So this could be in your career. This could be at the gym. This could be as an art. It could be for anything. But then something happens and you become off balance. Maybe something in your life happens, someone gets sick, or you all of a sudden have another kid or whatever, and you get kind of thrown off balance. So you're on your way to peak performance, but then you get off balance. Do you have any tricks or tips on how to get back there if you are noticing yourself getting off track?
So, you know, I think the first thing is, this is a great question, by the way, because life always happens and gets in the way. Like, very few people have the luxury to just be robots and show up and do the same thing every day. So I think that when things get out of whack, rather than immediately strive to find this perfect balance between everything, I like to coach people to actually don't look for balance, but evaluate the trade-offs and become really self-aware. So ask yourself, you know, now that I've got this second kid, or now that someone in my family is sick, or maybe it's now that I've been promoted at work, does running a really fast marathon, is that still the most important thing? Because it's really hard to find this elusive balance and be able to be great at everything. So I almost see those life happens is not something to get all upset about, not something to try to cram and fit everything in, because eventually the pressure cooker just explodes, but rather is kind of inflection points to really do some soul searching and say, I have a trade-off to make. What am I going to choose? And none of these choices are permanent. So oftentimes, these are very periodic things. You know, a prime example is myself. I'm in the process of launching a book. I have put pretty much everything else in my life to the side to focus really deeply on maximizing my performance and launching a book. I'm not trying to have this perfect balance during this period. I'm way out of balance. But I'm self-aware enough to know that and to kind of put limits on it and say, hey, in a week or two, I'm going to step away from craziness in book world and start giving some attention and energy to other things. I think just it's such a common trap is people try to, you know, they try to balance everything, and it's just impossible. I think it's much better to try to be self-aware of what you're doing and evaluate those trade-offs.
Great point, because there's so many of us who want to be super mom, or even at work, we want to be like the best of everything, and we're on this ladder of success, and crap happens. Stuff happens that you can't always anticipate. And balance, I just wrote a whole blog on this. Balance often is unattainable and it's crap. And the more that you try to balance, the more stressed out you become, because sometimes it's impossible and you need to focus on something else at that point. So I love your idea of being self-aware and reevaluating at that moment what is most important to you. And if you can always keep that in your mind, that will help you create that peace and that tranquility to be able to think clearly and to make the best choices for yourself and be able to come back later to what it was that you were working on originally. So maybe it was your book and you had to put that on hold for a while or whatever.
Totally. And not to feel guilty about it, to realize like these things are periodic and they come up. And I, again, the clients that I work with, I always say it's much better to be intentional and to shift than to try to do it all, because no one can do it all. If you try to do it all, everything ends up suffering.
Totally. I was doing it all and then I forgot my kid at home. So that's just a perfect case scenario. But it is true. It's so many of us walk around. I see it all the time with just busy people that they're just so stressed out and they can't think clearly. And then they get more stressed out because they can't, you know, because they're not achieving those goals in their mind, whatever it may be that they feel that they should be. And then they get more down on themselves, right? Have you ever seen that whole cycle with people? I'm sure you have.
Totally.
Yeah. And it's just, it's ridiculous. But with these little kind of mental tools that you talked about, being self-aware, reevaluating, and just being conscious of it, it helps you put things in perspective and realize, you know what? Can't do it all. And it just makes it a lot easier. So I appreciate you telling us that. We have to go to break real quick, but when we come back, we are going to, Brad is going to be giving us three tools on how to achieve our best. So it's going to be very specific. So stay with us. Come back, because Brad has amazing tips. So we'll see you in just a minute.
Hey, this is me, Dori, and I want to express how grateful I am for you joining me on my show. And for this, I have a very special gift for you that I am super excited to tell you about. It's a tool. And it's a tool that I have for those of you who are in a relationship and maybe feeling frustration and anxiety revolving around this partnership, like all of us do at some point, right? But it doesn't have to stay this way. The tool I'm talking about is my Energized Relationship Quiz. All you do is you simply answer 6 super simple questions, enter your email, and then my custom diagnosis will pop up and reveal the relationship issue. After that, it'll give you the tools to change your situation starting today, right away, right now. So stop arguing over the same things. Get your relationship back to that healthy and happy place you want it. And love being with your partner again. Yes, it can happen. Here's the coolest part. It's free. And like I said earlier, it's only 6 super easy questions. So all you have to do is go to my Facebook page, which is the @ Midori Verity, and type quiz in my messenger, and it'll take you right to the quiz. If you have questions, simply ask me on Messenger and I'll personally answer. In fact, I would love to hear your feedback. So once again, just go to my Facebook page, which is the @ Midori Verity, and type quiz in my messenger. That's it. I look forward to connecting with you.
Okay. We are back with Brad Stuhlberg, and he is going to be sharing 3 tools on how to achieve your peak performance. So once again, like we talked about in the last segment, we talked about, you know, it doesn't matter if it's for being an athlete or if it is about being an artist or being the best at piano or being the best mom or in your job. It doesn't matter. It all is, he uses the same system and just adapts it for his clients. So Brad, can you kind of go through this? What are the 3 main tools that our audience can use to help them?
So I think that the first tool is piggybacking on what we've been discussing, which is, for whatever pursuit of your life you're trying to really attain peak performance in, to think about it using that equation of stress or challenge plus rest and recovery equals growth. So that often means, to make this very tactical, defining some just manageable challenges for yourself. So if it's in your career, thinking about what type of project is going to push you just beyond your comfort zone. If it's athletically, maybe you run a 5K and you want to sign up for your first 10K. If it's in family life, it could be trying to develop a closer relationship with your partner or spending more time with your kids. So there are things that you just haven't done in the past that you might perceive as a slight challenge. Now, once you've defined that challenge, it's also really important to build in time to kind of reflect and recover afterwards. Because if all you do is push, 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 challenge, 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 that's when you become at risk for burnout. So I'd say that step one, from the kind of bird's eye view, is to think about this trajectory of personal growth. It's taking on just manageable challenges, following them up with a little bit of recovery, and then ever so slightly increasing the challenge.
I like it. Okay, good. And then I think just real quick to your point of, you know, if you're all you're doing is push, push, pushing, you can get burnt out. But let me assure you, the person who is your partner also will get uber burnt out with you. So it's just another thing to keep in mind. Since this is the Kick-Ass Relationship Show, but okay, so great. So that's the first step. Love it. Okay, and what's the next one?
So the second step kind of goes a level more granular, and that is just around the power of developing some good routines. So when you have a routine, what that allows you to do is it kind of almost puts your body and mind in a state where you feel really good about what you're going to do. And routines also lend a sense of predictability to an otherwise very unpredictable life. So humans have evolved to just crave predictability and comfort. So going through the same sets of things every day, it really just helps set the tone for day and get your body and mind in a state where you're ready to attain peak performance. Now, there's all kinds of people writing self-help books say that they have the one perfect routine. I can assure you, all the research says, there is no one perfect routine that works for everyone. So what researchers have found is that when it comes to routine, the guidelines are pretty simple. It's figure out something that is practical, that you can do every day, and it makes you feel good. And then just repeat that and really make it a priority to repeat that routine, knowing that by going through it, again, you'll put your body and mind in a state to really perform well.
Okay, so you said there's no perfect routine, but is there a better time of day that seems to be more successful in starting a routine?
So again, I think it depends on the person and the task, right? A lot of people have morning routines that set the tone for their day, and those can be really valuable. But if you're a creative person and you do your best creative work in the evening, you might want to have a routine in the late afternoon to get you ready for that burst of work. Something else that I often work with my clients on is, again, it depends on how you define peak performance. We think of morning routines as getting ready for the day, but a lot of really driven type A people, they actually need routines at the opposite time, when work ends, to be able to turn off so they can come home and be present for their family and relax. So, again, it's pretty task-specific, which just goes to show that, back to kind of my first piece of advice when we started the interview, is let's define performance. For some, peak performance, crushing it at their job. For others, peak performance is being able to turn it off so they can be a good parent.
Yeah, that's so interesting because I never thought of it that way. But that makes absolute sense. Where do you really want to thrive? Where do you need to focus more? What do you want to change or improve or become better at? And then figuring that out. How do you know? You know, sometimes we'll go through these routines and we're doing them because we're telling ourselves this is what we need to do every day. So maybe it's getting up and meditating in the morning, or going to the gym first thing in the morning, or whatever it is. But something just doesn't feel right. Is there any kind of clue that it's not working for you? But, you know, I know it takes a little while to get into it, but are there any kind of clues that your body or your mind gives you that tells you, you know what, you need to change this routine, it's not working?
So I like to go with the 3-week rule, which is if you give something 3 weeks and it still doesn't feel like it's working, then it's probably time to shift and change. And the good news is, I think that there's a lot more room to shift and change than people think. So let's say you try an exercise program, and even after 3 weeks, it's just making you way too tired throughout the rest of the day. Well, maybe your exercise program involves going to the gym and using the elliptical or the stair climber. Rather than stop exercising altogether, you could try taking a 45-minute walk instead. So just dial down the intensity a bit. And you might find that actually leaves you feeling really energetic and good and ready to start the day. So I think the trap is a lot of people kind of go all in really, really quick. And for some, they can latch on and do it, and it's great. But for others, it just feels like too much. And then they kind of go to the other end of the spectrum, which is from all in to, oh, this is just never going to work. And what I like to tell my clients is just dial it down a notch and test it at that level. Because often a very, very subtle tweak can make all the difference.
Okay. Yeah. That's a great tip. And then what about mentally, is there anything mentally that we should be doing to help us? So I know you're talking about routines, but do you have any kind of little ninja tricks for people to help them get into that, to the right mindset to even get into the routine?
So I think, digital technology and smartphones, they're kind of constantly encroaching upon our attention, and it's really, really hard to resist the temptation of constantly checking your smartphone. And whether that's email, social media, you name it. And I think that we don't realize how much smartphones, again, are kind of encroaching in and taking our attention. And it's nearly impossible to resist a smartphone when it's in view. So I think one ninja trick is just to remove your smartphone from the room altogether. There's fascinating research that shows even if a smartphone is face down and turned off, you can still see it. It impacts everything from the quality of your workout to the quality of your conversation to the quality of your writing. So when you see that smartphone, your brain's kind of thinking, oh, I wonder what's going on there. And you end up exerting all this energy just resisting checking it. So one of my ninja tricks is whenever I'm trying to really get in the zone or do deep focus work, I don't even bring my cell phone with me. And if I'm at home, I put it in another room.
Oh my gosh, that is such a big issue these days. When I was younger, no one had cell phones, only like the uber rich did, and it was in their car. And so it's become a huge problem. And the thing is, you know, my music is on my cell phone. So when I go to the gym, it's with me, and then I'll get text messages and everything else. And it just takes me off, just like you're talking about. So you're saying, like, even for going to the gym, maybe it's time to get some other type of device to listen to music that's not your cell phone. And just being able to unplug.
Exactly. Because the cell phone kind of has the opposite effect. It depends, right? If your job is to be a social media marketer, well, then, yeah, you're going to have your cell phone to get in the zone. But for very few of us, really need our phone, to hit that deep focus work. And what they end up doing is they just kind of end up zapping our energy, even if we're not using them, because we're resisting the urge to check them. And that resistance itself takes energy.
Exactly. Makes so much sense. Okay. So now tell us about the third tool that you have.
So the third tool sounds a little new agey, but there's so much science that shows that if you have a deep purpose for what you're doing and you reflect on that purpose, you end up doing a much better job at whatever it is that you're doing, whether that is parenting, whether that is running a marathon, or whether that is in your career. So individuals that kind of have shallow purposes, so to impress my friends or to make money or to get the new job title, they tend not to do as well as individuals whose purposes involve some kind of greater calling or greater cause. So I like to work with my clients to really get down to the why. Why are you doing what you're doing? Why do you want to attain peak performance in this? And then once they've named that for themselves, to have them remind themselves of that and reflect on it. All kinds of studies show that when we reflect on our purpose, we're more apt to take constructive risks, overcome fears, and also endure greater effort. So we're willing to put up with more if we feel like what we're doing really matters.
Yeah, that is huge. The why, understanding the why. And I've talked about it on this show before, but there's so many layers to the why, and you just have to keep on asking yourself why until you really feel it at your core. And what it comes down to is what's super important to you, what intrinsically is important to you. It could be your faith, it could be your kids, it could be all kinds of things, but usually it is not financial. It's, you know, you can ask yourself, well, why do I want to make $1 million a year? And keep on asking yourself and trying to understand the mental part of it. But yeah, Brad is absolutely correct in that. And that's such a huge part of it, because once you understand your why and that's what you're working towards in everything in your life, it makes it easier to overcome obstacles and to have that fulfillment and have that deep purpose that keeps you going and jumping out of bed every day. So that is huge. Thank you so much for that, Brad. So real quick, if you can just re-say the three tools that you just mentioned to us.
Totally. So the first is to identify how you define peak performance and what trajectory you want to be on, and then try to find those just manageable challenges that push you ever so slightly outside of your comfort zone. Have the courage to take those on, but then also realize the importance of rest and recovery afterwards. That's the first. The second would be the power of routine and trying to figure out what puts your body and mind in the right state in the zone for what you want to do. And knowing that if you try something and it doesn't work, rather than just quit immediately, try to just dial it down a notch. I think this is most important when we talk about exercise. If you feel like exercise is making you tired and you're sick of people hearing about how it's supposed to energize you, just dial down the intensity a little bit and try that for a week. Because oftentimes those incremental changes make a big difference. And then the third tip would just be the power of purpose. Really reflecting on what is your true innermost why for what you're doing, and reflecting on that. Heck, reflect on that daily, and that will help motivate you, help you become less fearful, help you take more constructive risks, and ultimately enhance your performance.
Totally agree with all of these. I love this, and so. If you found this of value, which I'm sure you did, because these are such just concrete tools for anyone to use, and this is regardless of how old you are or how young you are or what stage you're at and what you're trying to accomplish, these transverse into every stage of your life. So if you are interested in this, Brad does have his new book that just launched. So Brad, tell us where we, the name of your book one more time, and then also where we can find that.
So the name of the book is Peak Performance, Elevate Your Game, Avoid Burnout, and Thrive with the New Science of Success. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and your neighborhood bookstore should have it as well. And for listeners, I'd like to do something a little bit special. If you order the book today, you can send an email to info@peakperformance.email, and you'll receive a free electronic poster that highlights some of the key principles in the book.
Oh, perfect. That's a great accompaniment to go with the book. So that's awesome. So you guys, in case you didn't have a chance to write that down, if you're driving or didn't have a pen and paper at that moment, no worries, of course, because it will be on my web. In fact, it already is on my website. If you go to midoriverity.com/show and you look up Brad, that information is all there for you. So it'll make it super easy. I hope you take advantage of that because I know that it will help you. And Brad, thank you, thank you, thank you for sharing all this incredible wisdom to help all of us reach our peak performance and be fabulous. So thanks for being here, and we will all go out and get your book today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Okay, take care. Okay, so everyone, we are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, guess who is here with us? Miss Angela Barros. She is a clairvoyant and empowerment coach, and she is giving one lucky listener a free reading. You guys want to hear this because it is insane how flipping her talent and what she sees in people. It's almost surreal. It is surreal. For me, it's super surreal. So come on back. We're going to be back in just a few minutes, and you don't want to miss it.
Hey, this is me, Dory, and I want to express how grateful I am for you joining me on my show. And for this, I have a very special gift for you that I am super excited to tell you about. It's a tool, and it's a tool that I have for those of you who are in a relationship and maybe feeling frustration and anxiety revolving around this partnership, like all of us do at some point, right? But it doesn't have to stay this way. The tool I'm talking about is my Energized Relationship Quiz. All you do is you simply answer 6 super simple questions, enter your email, and then my custom diagnosis will pop up and reveal the relationship issue. After that, it'll give you the tools to change your situation starting today. Right away, right now. So stop arguing over the same things. Get your relationship back to that healthy and happy place you want it. And love being with your partner again. Yes, it can happen. Here's the coolest part. It's free. And like I said earlier, it's only 6 super easy questions. So all you have to do is go to my Facebook page, which is the @MidoriVerity, and type quiz in my messenger, and it'll take you right to the quiz. If you have questions, simply ask me on messenger and I'll personally answer. In fact, I would love to hear your feedback. So once again, just go to my Facebook page, which is the @MidoriVerity, and type quiz in my messenger. That's it. I look forward to connecting with you.
Gosh, I love Journey. If you guys were able to hear that, that was my favorite band in the 70s. Now you all know how old I am, but that was my favorite band. Okay, everyone, welcome back. I am here with Angela Barros, our personal clairvoyant, and actually she's become my friend. I adore Angela, not only because she's so talented, but because she's just so cool. And then we also have Maria on the line. Maria is our lucky listener who was chosen to have this free reading with Angela. So I'm going to let you two get started.
Cool. Thank you, Midori.
Okay, thank you.
Maria, I feel the information I've been given is that I feel that you need to really step back. And it's almost like I want you to stop. I want you to stop doing so much. Because at the moment, it just feels like you're running around after too many people and doing too many things, when you actually need to come back and make it more about yourself, because it hasn't been about yourself for a long time. And I feel that, especially in sort of the last 6 months, there's been a lot of running around. And it's about having more clarity of what you're actually looking for, because you're running to things, but you're not actually really sure of what you're running to. Does it make sense?
It does, yes.
Right, good. And so in terms of relationships, it's also feels like you've been chasing a lot in relationships. And so in terms of, I want to say to you, stop chasing, have yourself into alignment, and they will come, okay? They will come, because I feel like you've been running around too much. You've been just running around too much. It's tiring, and that's why you're tired. It's like you're getting up in the morning, and you've had a good sleep, but you're still tired. It's like the energy needs to rebuild within yourself as well. I'm not sure if you're doing any sort of physical exercise, if you're doing any sort of gentle stretching or yoga or just going for some gentle walks, but that's something that I'm told that would be really good for you, just to do some slow, gentle movement stuff, not to be doing any sort of hard out running, kickboxing exercise and things, but just some slow, gentle movement. That's also going to help your digestive system, because I'm just showing there's a lot of processing that hasn't been going on, okay? I also feel that behind your eyes, you're tired. You're tired. It's like you're doing a lot and you're not really getting proper rest. Does that make sense?
Okay. Okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So I would like you to focus on yourself. If you can spend 10 minutes a day doing some breathing and stretching exercises, even a bit longer, but almost like just to sit there and give gratitude, okay? And I feel that if you can do that for at least the next sort of, if you can do that for the next 30 days, that's going to also help calm your central nervous system, okay? I just feel that there's quite a bit of calming that needs to come onto you, so that you can really revitalize and allow that energy to come through. And just allowing more things to happen, because there's you have a lot of resistance. It's like in front of me, I have a brick wall that I'm trying to push the brick wall over. There's a lot of resistance. And if you keep trying to push it, you just keep coming up against that resistance, okay? But if you actually just allow it, that wall will just crumble by itself. But I also feel that there's some discussions. I think it could be in your workplace, or your personal space. And it's really about that there's some communication that really hasn't been happening. I just feel that you have the resistance is about the discussions that have been going on. I think you need to open up and be more honest with that as well. Okay. Yeah, and I feel that's going to help you, because at the moment it feels like when you're going to the place that you need to go to, it doesn't feel like a nice environment, doesn't feel like a nice energy for you to go into at the moment. And that's because of this resistance, because of the discussions that need to be had.
Okay, awesome.
Okay, good.
No, it's so interesting, Angela, because I actually just started, I did yoga last night, and I woke up feeling so much better this morning, and it makes total sense.
Perfect. Yoga is great for you. Excellent. Good. It's, you know, really stretching that mid-body part out. It's great to stretch the legs and the arms and things and shoulders, but it's really about your core system, about stretching that out. Like if you lay on your knees and arch your back, that's going to really help your digestive system. I'm just showing, I'm not a yoga expert or anything, but I'm just showing that would be really good for you, just to be stretching that area out and just allowing that energy to flow too. And that's why the breath view is really, really important. If you go outside, stand in the grass and just, you know, breathe up from the ground, breathe up all the way up through your body, let the oxygen air go all throughout, right up to the sky. Breathe in for 6 seconds, go right up to the sky, hold it for 3 seconds, and then breathe out for 6 seconds, doing the same thing. Allow the energy to flow, and that's going to bring you back into balance and harmony. It's also going to settle your mind.
Maria, is there anything else? Is there anything else that you, we have just a couple more minutes. Is there another question you have for Angela that you want her to look into? Or questions about what she said already?
You know, I'm good. I'm just looking, you know, maybe, no, it makes sense. Yeah. I don't know if she sees anything else or feels anything, but I'm okay on my end.
I just feel it's about you. Take some time out for you. Some others might see it as being selfish, but you need to hop away from the drama that's been going on. Okay, Maria, you need to look after yourself first. It's the oxygen effect. Look after yourself first, then you can look after others. Step away from the drama, because I feel that there's also been a lot of drama and that's really been pulling you down a lot too.
Okay.
Because I feel, it just also feels like that you'll have friends, people, associates moving away, and it'll be your choice because it's just too much drama.
Okay, friends moving away.
Yep, friends or okay. People who are associated with you.
Because
they feel heavy and taking your energy a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a two-way friendship. They only show me it's like a one-way bridge. That you're just giving to them and they're not, you know, giving back. And a friendship is a two-way street.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Angela. Yeah, it makes sense. And I will exercise more slow yoga exercise. And
perfect.
I will take a lot of time to myself. Thank you.
You're welcome.
More time for myself.
I love it. Maria, thank you for being here. That was awesome. And I just have to say, so many, it's weird because I'm wondering if you're picking up on me too, Angela, because, you know, the whole thing with having, I have great friends. I have to say, I'm so fortunate, but this last weekend, there was a person who I've known for a long, 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 long time who's been an energy zapper. And I just keep letting her in for one reason or another. But she's an energy zapper. So I think it's a good point for everyone to realize that when you notice that person, when you're aware of it, sometimes you just kind of got to cut it off or find a way to push away from that person, because it happens to the best of us.
It does. It's great to be really conscious of what's happening. But when people are taking your energy, I allow them to take the energy, because they need that energy more than you do at that time. And you can always refill up your energy. But being conscious of that, of what is happening, you then need to ask yourself, for what purpose am I allowing this to happen?
Right. Yeah. Right. No, I think that's a really smart question, because it says so much about you. And then also, once you understand why you are allowing it to happen, it'll help you make it so it doesn't happen anymore. You can flip it or have control of it at least. So
absolutely.
Awesome tip. Angela, I love you. You are so
I love you
fabulous.
Too. You're amazing.
So you guys, Angela is going to be a regular on our show. She's going to be here about once a month. If you go to my website, midoriverity.com/show, you will see Angela Barros' name there. And what you can do, there's two things. Click on that. It will tell you when her next, when she'll be on next. And then you can either email me or Facebook me. Facebook message me and let me know that you're interested, and I'll let you know when we can try to fit you in. And then also you can hear the full interview with Angela, which is fascinating. So I suggest you do that as well. And then actually I have three things for you. Number three, it has her, if you want to have a private session with Angela and talk to her and really get her just undivided attention and hear all the incredible things that she can tell you, her link is there as well. So I encourage you to go check that out, because seriously, she did a reading for me and I almost fell out of my chair. I couldn't believe it. It was insane. So I suggest you go check out Angela. But Angela, thank you so much for being here with us again.
You're welcome. My pleasure, Midori.
Of course. Okay, so next week, you guys, we are having an amazing person. I actually met this person a couple months ago. Her name is Natalie Ledwell. She is the co-founder of Mind Movies, which is, oh my gosh, it's incredible. Look, do a search for that, Mind Movies. And she is going to be talking all about how to be a massive manifester. She has figured it out and she has created an absolutely insane empire. And she was even telling me, she's like, she has to be very careful about what she thinks about and what she manifests, because it comes true. And sometimes it's not what she wants, but she's going to be giving us the tools and the tips to help us become more of a manifester and achieve that which will serve us better in our lives and make us happier and have more abundance and help us have healthier relationships. So who doesn't want that? So I so encourage you to be back here with us next week, next Wednesday. And as always, remember that gratitude attitude. You guys wake up in the morning with a gratitude attitude, go to bed with a gratitude attitude. Think of one thing that you can say or do for someone else to express it each day, and you will be a happier person and so will the others. All right, until next time, I hope that you will go and follow me on Facebook at Midori Verity. That's actually my handle for all my social media. I would love to chat with you and hear what you have to say and what you'd like to hear more on the show. And until next time, I will see you then. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the Kick-Ass Relationship Show with Midori Verity. We hope you've enjoyed the show and want to share the love by passing on our web address, MidoriVerity.com/show, to your friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out our archive section on our website for previous shows. This has been a Midori Verity International production. Join us next time on the Kick-Ass Relationship Show to add passion and fun to enjoy the most extraordinary relationship and life.